It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul in the mid-60s A.D. The theme of Philemon. Philemon is a master, or in today's language, employer. Has a employee, or a servant, named Onesimus. This particular servant stole from Philemon and fled. Paul, in this epistle, acts as mediator and reconciles them back together again, using an Old Testament principle plus New Testament grace and love. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 15 through 16, the Old Testament principle, scripture, that Paul uses is as follows. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Here, Paul is going to take Onesimus, who fled Philemon, and as we're going to read further down, convert him to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then reconcile Onesimus and Philemon back together again. Verse number 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, imprisoned in Rome, still doing the work of the gospel, still getting out the word of God, still converting souls to Jesus Christ, even though he is imprisoned for preaching the word of God. This is Timothy, the son in the faith of Paul, his brother in Christ. Paul converted and discipled Timothy, and now they are traveling companions doing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 is the introduction between Paul and Timothy. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was named there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek. This is the introduction of Paul and Timothy, and began their ministry together. And unto Philemon. This is Philemon, another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps a convert of Paul. And now he is a fellow laborer. Verse number 2, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thine house. This Appia is the wife of Philemon. This Archippus is the son of Philemon and Appia, and they have a church in their own home. This is common in the Bible days. Cathedrals and grand churches were not built until later. They used synagogues, or they used homes as a place of worship. We know that from Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. It reads, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. So we see here that Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their own house. Verse number 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see in the Pauline epistles, in the epistles of John, throughout the New Testament, you will see grace before peace. Why? You cannot have the peace of God until you have the grace of God. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:21. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we cannot have the peace of God in our hearts until we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, being reconciled. And that word being reconciled means to be made friends again. Grace will always come before peace in the New Testament scripture introductions. Verse number 4, Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Here, Paul, the prayer warrior, is praying for Philemon by name, mentioning him in his prayers. This is what Paul enjoyed to do, praying for the saints. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3 says the same thing. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, Paul says this again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. The question is, are we praying for our brethren and our sisters? Are we praying for our enemies? Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Paul giving us the example of prayer. Are we taking that example and praying for our families, our loved ones, our nation, our government, praying for our enemies, praying for ourselves that we walk in the love of God? Verse number 5 of Philemon, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Paul is saying, I've heard of your love, I've heard of your faith. The same thing was said in the book of Colossians, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. So upon the Colossians being converted, upon Philemon being converted, Paul is saying, I cease not to pray for you, and I'm hearing about your faith and about your love. Verse number 6 of Philemon, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I want you to be active in sharing your faith. I've heard that you're active in sharing your faith. I've heard it's become effectual in sharing your faith. Philemon is letting his light shine and being the salt of the earth. And Paul here is commending him for being active in sharing his faith. Verse number 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Here Paul calls him brother as a believer. Here Paul is laying the stage by commending his love, because later on in the epistle, Paul is going to appeal to his love to take back Onesimus. And throughout the scriptures in this particular epistle, Paul is going to commend him for his love, and based on that, he's going to ask him to take back Onesimus, a fellow believer now in Jesus Christ. Verse number 8 and 9 of the book of Philemon reads as follows. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying here? Paul is saying, I could order you to take back Philemon. I could command you to take back Philemon, but I'm appealing to your love. Paul said in verse 9, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beg you or beseech you. Paul has apostolic authority. Paul, we know, has apostolic authority to start churches and to oversee churches. We know this from the book of Titus, how he commissioned Titus to ordain elders on the island of Crete. So Paul had apostolic authority. We also know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it reads as follows. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Paul is saying, this we commanded you, apostolic authority. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working none at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So here we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul is exercising his apostolic authority to correct those that are idle, to correct those that refuse to work and earn a means of survival and income, and commands them to work and earn their own keep. Here in the book of Philemon, Paul refuses to use his apostolic authority, but instead appeals to Philemon for his love's sake, because Philemon is a man that's been proven to show love and faith, and that's what Paul is appealing to, so Philemon can take back Onesimus in love, and not by commandment, not by force, but willingly. Verse number 10 of Philemon, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. We see here that Onesimus, which means useful, was led to Christ by Paul. He's begotten him in his bonds. In other words, Paul led him to Christ while he was bound in prison. He's a faithful and beloved brother. And he's telling Philemon that he's no longer his servant in terms of his role, but he's his brother in Christ. That's how he's appealing to Philemon, by his love and by him now being a believer. We know this from Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. It says that with Onesimus, in other words, Onesimus was with Paul while he was imprisoned. Verse number 9 of Colossians chapter 4, a faithful beloved brother who is one of you. He's from Colossae. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So Onesimus, a faithful beloved brother, is with Paul while he's imprisoned, and Paul is telling the Colossian church that he's going to let you know all things that are happening here. Onesimus means useful, led to Christ by Paul. Back to Philemon, verse 11 and 12. It says here, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Here we see Paul is having a play on words in order to appeal and move Philemon. Verse 11, he was unprofitable, but now he is profitable. That word profitable is Onesimus, useful. That word unprofitable is useless. In other words, Paul is having a play on words and saying that Onesimus was unprofitable. He was useless. And now he is profitable. He is useful. A play on words on the name of Onesimus. And Paul is appealing to Philemon based on him being useful. Paul is saying in verse 12, I have sent him back to you. Receive him. Mine own bowels. In other words, you're receiving him, you're receiving me. When you receive him, you're receiving a product of my ministry, a product of my labor, a product of my love, a product of the very bowels of my being, because I led him to Christ. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's not the same man he was before. Verse number 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bounds of the gospel. In other words, Paul is saying, I would have kept him right here and used him to minister to me instead of you. There is no assistance and no help in the prisons of old. That's why Paul in the book of 2 Timothy asked for the parchments and the books and his cloak to be sent to him before winter came, because there was no help unless family or loved ones gave help to the prisoners. And Paul was moved to keep Onesimus for himself, to keep Onesimus all for himself, to minister to him while he's bound in prison. Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. In other words, Paul is saying, I could have kept him, but I want your willing support. I want to send him back to you knowing that he was a blessing to me, but now I want him to be a blessing to you, that you may benefit from him being converted and now being your own brother in Christ Jesus. Verse number 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? The Bible says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is a glory to pass over a transgression. Paul is saying here that the benefit of sending him back, it's showing forgiveness. It's showing that Philemon, because of your love, you're able to pass over a transgression. Especially when an individual, such as Onesimus, committed this transgression as an unbeliever, and now as a believer, he is sorry in the Lord and willing and able to come back to you. The Bible says, brethren, if any one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How wonderful it is that Paul converted Onesimus, and now he's saving the soul of a sinner through Jesus Christ and hiding a multitude of sins. And now he's able to send him back as a dual friend, no longer a servant, but a brother. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Here Paul is saying he is a dual friend. He is a friend in Christ Jesus. He is your brother in Christ Jesus. He can serve you in the natural, and he can serve you in the spirit. This is Paul reconciling or making friends again, Onesimus and Philemon. That word reconcile means to be made from enemy to friend. Verse number 15, Paul is speaking as a reference now. He may be gone for a season, but now you should receive him forever. Why? He is your brother in Christ Jesus, and I am giving him a reference that he was born again, and he is your brother. Verse number 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. A reference in Christ Jesus. You're receiving him, you're receiving me. Verse number 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Put that on my tab. This is an example of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for the sins of the world, as we were redeemed in Christ Jesus by his precious blood. This is an example of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 35. It reads, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. What's Paul saying here? Paul is saying, receive Onesimus as your brother in Christ, as he is born again. And if he owes anything to you that he's taken from you, I will pay it back. You can put that on mine account. Paul here is symbolically looked upon in this particular epistle as the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is reconciling Philemon and Onesimus together, and as he is taking the price that Onesimus owes Philemon upon himself. What a picture we have here in Scripture. Verse number 19, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Howbeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own selves besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Paul is saying that I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to ensure that you get your money back. Paul is saying, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Cause me to have joy in the Spirit by being reconciled, being made friends again, no longer enemies, but rejoicing in the joy of Christ Jesus in sweet fellowship. Verse 21 of Philemon, having confidence in this obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. In other words, Paul is saying, I have confidence in Christ Jesus that I know you're going to take him back. Because Philemon, as I said before, you're a man of love. You're a man of faith. You've shown your love and you've shown your faith. And you're going to do even more than I ask. This is the expectation that Paul had for many of his believers. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, Paul was expecting a blessing, expecting support from the church of Philippi while he was away doing his minister work. He did not receive a blessing. He did not receive help. And an individual named Epaphroditus, in verses 25 through 30, did the work of the Philippian church, took up an offering, ensured that Paul had means to support him during the ministry and while he was in prison. And this particular individual, Epaphroditus, nearly worked himself to death as a result. And Paul said, he's done much more than I'll ever ask, for he's done the work of the Philippian church for me. God bless that kind of labor in love. God himself sees this kind of diligence. God himself sees this kind of labor in love. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 confirms this. For it reads, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If nobody notices our labor of love, God notices our labor of love, and great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven. Back to Philemon, verse number 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul here has confidence in prayer. Prayer in Christ. Faith to be released from prison and to be with them soon. As the Bible says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse number 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. This individual, Epaphras, was with Paul in prison, ministering to him in the bounds of the gospel. This particular individual, Epaphras, is also written of in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Here, Paul had with him a prayer warrior. This particular epistle also has the theme of prayer involved. Paul praying in the beginning, Paul praying later in the epistle, and Paul showing Epaphroditus a prayer warrior. Prayer in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our very being. Paul teaching us through the scriptures here the importance of prayer. Verse number 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Here, Paul is sending a greeting to Philemon from those who are also with him, visiting him in prison. Marcus, this is the disciple Mark. This is John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. This is Mark who in Acts chapter 13 got homesick and left the ministry with Paul. This is Mark in Acts chapter 15. Barnabas, his uncle, was asking Paul to take him back again, and Paul refused. Paul wanted Mark to be more mature. And later, Paul was reconciled with Marcus, as we see here in Philemon verse number 24. And also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul speaks of Mark by name. Aristarchus. This individual Aristarchus is found in Acts chapter 20 as a traveling companion with Paul in the book of Philemon many years later. Demas. This individual was found in Colossians 4:14. An individual that's a traveling companion with Paul. But this individual in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, 4 to 5 years later, left the ministry with Paul and returned back to Thessalonica. This individual went back into the world. He loved the world, and the love of the Father was not in him. It's not just enough to start. We must finish. This individual, Luke. Luke, the beloved physician. This is the disciple Luke, author of the book of Luke. Verse 25 of Philemon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul starts out this epistle with grace, and he ends with grace. The Bible is filled with grace, and the Bible concludes with grace. The last scripture in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, ends in grace. For it reads, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This particular book of Philemon speaks of reconciling Philemon, a employer, with a runaway employee who stole from him named Onesimus. And Paul brings them back together again as he leads Onesimus to Christ by appealing to the love of Philemon, the faith of Philemon, the forgiveness of Philemon, to take him back, not as a servant only, but as a brother in Christ Jesus, to minister to him in the natural and in the spirit. What a book of love. What a book of reconciliation. It speaks to us being reconciled through Christ Jesus back to God. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer? This prayer will change your life. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.